The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m., and if you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Okay, Ms. Pat?
Since Morris asked if we had a comment or a question, I just wanted to share this. When Morris decided that we should go ahead with service, he said, God called me to preach. And he said, I must preach. And it was just such a simple and profound principle, an answer to the things that everybody's been asking. What do I do? What do I do? What has God called you to do? You know, we've been walking in God's call. So let's don't stop walking. Walk in the call and the gifts that God has put upon you. Mm-hmm. Whatever that means. You know, God called Morris to preach. He's here to preach this morning. God called us to gather together, you know, and to not forsake the assembling of ourselves. Whatever that might look like. That can be small gatherings in church. If you want to be blessed, read the first four chapters of Acts. It's talking about today.
Who?
You know, the people were afraid. They were gathering in small groups. They were studying the scriptures. They were praying together. They were taking communion together. They were having fellowship with each other. So whatever that looks like to you, and whatever you can manage, if you will, then I believe this is like it's almost like God's given us a gift of a Sabbath, a time of rest, where we can really focus on Him and study His Word and hear what He has to say to us.
Mm-hmm.
And to the church. And to the world.
Yes.
God has an eye on the nations and on you.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. You know, you said that, Pat, and made me think. The world's looking for solutions. Because you know what? What they've been trying ain't working. And they're seeing it now. And everybody's been brought to their knees. We have the answer. Yes, Miss Sherry.
Building on what Miss Pat was saying, I follow Facebook mainly to follow my nieces and nephews and their exploits. But there's been a lot of positive on Facebook about gathering together and support and praying and not to forget where our hope comes from.
Mm-hmm.
But one that struck me was, okay, everybody, your kids are stuck at home. You're stuck at home. You can't go out to eat. You can't go to the movies. You can't. But you can spend time with your family.
Yes.
You can play games with your children. Learn more about your children and your spouse. And you can spend time together and time with the Lord. If you look at it in a positive outlook,
yes.
This is a good thing. Yes. For the family of God.
Amen. That's good. It's a good word. Yeah, I agree with you, Sherry. I agree with you. Okay, today I want to talk to you about, I really want to wrap up this little mini-series we've been talking about of a change. And we've talked about it for two sermons, and this is the third sermon, of learning to live with change. Little did I know when I started this story what change we would see. And I told you, change comes suddenly. You never know. It just, and then you have to deal with it. So, living with change, and the scripture that I'm using for the whole series is from the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. That's that word again, remember. Remember that at that time you were separated from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. What a powerful, powerful passage of Scripture this is. And it identifies all of us. At one time we were separated from God and we couldn't deal with change. But in Christ we can deal with the change that comes along where beauty becomes terror and daily life becomes from joy to disaster. And I'm telling you that, think about what's going on in the world, the disaster that's here. I was shown an email that I want to read to you. And Janine Terrio had received this from her daughter. And I'm not sure whether her daughter wrote it or whether her daughter received it from someone else. I'm not sure. But I want to read it to you. It's very, very brief. And just like that, the government controls all sporting events, concerts, jobs, colleges, medical facilities, whether or not you can leave your house, has depleted resources such as toilet paper and food, controls all travel. And you guys wonder why they develop and use viruses to scare the public. They now control you and everything about your life. See how easy that was? Mass panic, hysteria, complete control of literally the world over a virus. One that the survival rates are even extremely high. All freedom has been limited overnight. See how easy that was? If you would have told me 4 or 5 weeks ago that we would be in a state of being where everything was shut down, I would have laughed you out of town. You said, they're going to close businesses. I'd have laughed you out of town. They're going to close restaurants. Never in a million years will they close a restaurant. They're going to stop international flights virtually at a standstill. Talking about limiting now national flights. I've heard that airlines are flying with virtually no one on board. If you want to fly, now's the time, good time to fly. There's nobody flying with you. You get your own section of the plane by yourself. And if you'd have said the churches would close, I'd have probably slapped your face for such blasphemy. See how easy that was? So what's the story? The story is change is here and we got to have our foundation. And what I want to talk today about, and actually I came up with this before all of this began. I mean, it's interesting to me looking back in hindsight that this came to me. But let's look at Luke chapter 4, and 24 rather. I'm not going to read it. It's a long passage, but I want to look at verses 13 through 15 and 30 through 35. Jesus has been crucified. Jesus is in the grave. And that's the situation. And the scene of this passage opens up. Now the same day, two of them, being two of the disciples of Jesus, were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They didn't have a motorcycle. They didn't have a bike. You know, they probably were walking because that's what it says they were doing. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. And pick up in verse 30. When he was at table with them, he broke bread and gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled. A new beginning starts at the end of the road someplace. You know, you got to get to that place where you're going to have to do something about the change. Everything that they had hoped for was gone. No kingdom. All the preaching about the kingdom that Jesus did, forget about it. No promise. No overthrowing Rome. No freedom at last. No being the Jews who wanted their freedom so desperately. No promise. No future. No resurrection. No. It's all gone. None of it was true. And most importantly, no Jesus. They were walking in the wrong direction, away from Jerusalem. Are you walking away in the wrong direction? I ask you, watching me right now. Are you walking in the right direction or the wrong direction? Are you walking with the crowd or are you walking with Jesus? What are you doing? Is your hope busted? Say, I don't know how we're going to get out of this. I don't know what's going to happen to me, my family, my finances. If you got money in the stock market, you lost a lot of money. If you got a 401k and you're planning on retiring, or if you are retired and planning on living on it, it's been hit hard, and the hitting's not over. Of course, by the way, I'm not a stockbroker nor an investment counselor, but you haven't lost it till you sell it. By the way, if you hang on, hopefully it'll come back. That's what I'm hoping. But when they were walking in the wrong direction, a new vision of Jesus changed everything. See, Jesus is a change maker. He's a change breaker. Chain breaker, you know. He fixes stuff that is broken. Beloved, don't ever give up on your faith or give up on Jesus. Don't ever despair. I love David. David said, I would have despaired had I not believed that I'd see the goodness of the Lord, where? In the land of the living. I'm looking for Jesus at every corner. Give me bad news, I'm looking for rescue. You know? I believe that He's everywhere. I've been at death's door, laying on the boat, bleeding. I bled so much, they couldn't get a blood pressure on me when they got me to the hospital. And you know, Sherry, that's pretty bad. But in that boat, Jesus showed up. He was there all the time. And I wasn't backslidden, falling away from God, you know, on the road to hell. I was serving God with all my fiber, and I had an accident. It wasn't no accident. It was the devil just trying to kill me because he didn't want me to preach this sermon and every other one I preached. A new vision changed everything. Beloved, I encourage you to look for a new vision for the Lord in the midst of all of this. You know, like you said, Sherry, let's look. Let's put on our spiritual eyes. Lord, open my eyes. I can see. Don't let me be blinded by the news media. Don't let me be blinded by fear. Fear will destroy your joy, your sense of well-being, and it'll tamper with your faith. Don't let that happen to you. Don't let that happen to you. When we have faced our fears about the changes that we're dealing with, it'll renew our hope. We need hope. Any unbelievers that are out in the world, your neighbors, the ones who don't know what to do with themselves, there's no sporting events to watch, there's no restaurant to go to. My God, you can't even go to the parks to slide out. They close them. You can't even go out and get some fresh air. I mean, it's ridiculous. And those folks don't know what to do. And some of them know you. And some of them know other Christians. And some are wondering how we're going to help them. And if we're cowered down in fear and trembling and not doing what God's called us to do to bring the good news to the lost and dying world, they're never going to find their way. You know what the world prays? The world prays that we won't fail. Because if we fail, there's no hope for them. Those of us who are believers who proclaim Christ and go to church and read our Bibles and, you know, try to live right, if we fall, they don't have a prayer. Because if we can't make it, how are they going to make it? They won't. They may not consciously process through that, but I'm telling you, that's what they're thinking. Hoping that there's hope somewhere. Now is the time for a new beginning. In a movie, The Passion, which is probably on TV, if you haven't seen it, you ought to watch it. Jesus said this. He said, when he was under the cross, and his mother was there, and he said, "See, Mother, I make everything new. See, Mom, I make everything new." And that's what Jesus does. He's the God of the new beginnings. So, let's look. A new beginning starts within you. And then we're going to go back and kind of plow our way through some of the scripture we just looked at in verse 32 of Luke 24. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he's talked with us on the road?" And what did he talk about? He opened the scriptures to them. You want to find hope? You want to find encouragement? You want to find a word from God? You want to hear a word from God? Get in the book. That's where you'll find it. That's where you'll find peace. You'll find encouragement. You'll find bravery. You'll find the ability to get up from wherever you are. Jesus' body had laid in the grave in the tomb for 3 days. Nothing had changed from the cross to the tomb. They had no expectations of things ever being good again. No expectations. No hope. No hope at all. That's where they were. They were hopeless. You know the scripture we just started off? At one time you were in the world without God and without hope. You know what people are doing? Drugs, alcohol, sex, unable to cope, killing themselves. Hopelessness. And we have hope. And now about it, faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. We love people and give them hope. There is hope. Well, you don't know where I've been. You don't know what I did. You don't know what's happened to me. Yeah, you know, I got the virus. My mother got the virus. You know, somebody died. My finances are gone. I don't know what to do. Hopelessness. And we come with the words of hope and say, there is hope in Christ Jesus, who sees every tear, who hears every prayer, who cares about you morning, noon, and night. He came and gave his life that you might have life and that you might have eternal life. That's what he came to do. We offer Christ. We don't offer psychology. We don't offer false hopes. We offer Christ, the hope of the world. He's the only hope this world has got. On the first day of the week, life in the lifeless body of Christ brought him to a new creation beginning. He's the firstborn from the dead, the first raised from the dead. Others have been restored. He's the only one who was resurrected. He said, "I am the resurrected." And when he rose, everything became new. Everything changed. He died on the cross for our sins, but it wasn't enough. He laid in the tomb for 3 days, but it wasn't enough. But what made it enough is on that Sunday, the first day of the week, when life began within him and he rose up triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. And that Roman soldier in that clip we just saw, he saw it. And people have been seeing it ever since. It's the hope of the world. Why were the apostles able to turn the whole world, the scripture says, upside down, I say right side up. You know why they did it? They preached the resurrection. The resurrection. The resurrection. I'm getting ahead of myself because I'm going to preach it again in a couple of weeks. But it was the resurrection that changed everything. Your new beginning of hope begins on the inside. What are you going to live with? You live with anxiety? You live with worry? Your brain is a perpetual motion picture production ticket seller, player, and audience. You dream in your mind of what things are going to be. You make a movie and put the credits on it, produced by you. And that movie you're looking at is terrible. It's got you scared to death. It's a horror movie beyond horror movie. It's Frankenstein, the Wolfman, and the Alien, and all the other movies all put together in one. To scare you. And that's what we do to ourselves. We're self-frightening. You know how many times I have to say this, but I'm going to keep saying it until Jesus comes back. You need to repent. And when I'm talking about repentance, I'm not talking about weeping and lamenting and crying over what you did wrong. And you know what I'm going to say. Repentance means change thinking. It's two words. Metanoia. Change the way that you think, because the way that you think in your mind is wrong. There's a way that seems right unto a man. The ways thereof are the ways of death. You can't trust your mind. You can only trust the Word of God that God puts into your mind that refreshes and renews your mind. And when you change your mind and you begin to think like Christ thinks, you begin to think like the Scriptures think, and you begin to have the mind of Christ that He imparted to those men on the road to Emmaus, and that changed them, did not our hearts burn within us? See, the Word of God will burn. It burns up the chaff and it allows the dross to be put out of your system so that only the pure Word of God will survive, and that will sustain you. Change the way you think, you change what you believe. See, I believe we're going to be okay. I do. I really do. This is going to pass. You know, as it takes, I want it to be over yesterday. You know, I want to go back to Big Easy, and get a pizza. The Italian pie said Big Easy. I want to go to the Big Easy too on Thursday and have some fried eggs and some wheat toast, wet. You know, that's right. You know, and Nick wants to get his BLT. I know what everybody eats. You know, I want it over, and it may not be over today or tomorrow or next week or next month or next year. Maybe next year we'll still be us. But you know what? I won't change my message, I promise you. It'll be the same message. Because if we change the way that we think, that hope is here, it'll change the things that we do, and we'll act differently. We'll walk a little taller, and we'll feel a little better, and we won't be having this pain in our stomach from anxiety. I think it's the flu, it's anxiety. You think it's coronavirus, it's anxiety. You got headaches. A lot of people have got runny noses. Oh my God, do I have the virus? No, what you got is what everybody in the South gets this time of year. You got allergies. Wish we didn't have them, but we all have it. We get a sore throat. Oh my God, I'm going to die of the virus. No! Don't be looking for sickness behind every corner. Be looking for health. And if you feel sick, pray. Ask God to heal you. Take my scripture, Romans 8:2. There it says, there's therefore now no condemnation. And right after it says that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. Sickness is in sin and death. Nobody died and got sick before sin entered the world. It's another sermon. That burning gave a rise to hope. I love this. It says, it's like Tweedledee and Tweedledum, you know. And they look at each other. They ask each other the same question. Were not our hearts burning within us when He talked to us on the road? And open the scriptures to us. I implore you. I encourage, I beg you, get into the Word of God. Start reading. I'm reading it more. I am every day. I'm looking more for more and more truth because I need it. I need it. I went and read one of my favorite passages of Scripture, Romans chapter 9, Romans. That's a one. Romans 8 is one of my, I don't know, it's my favorite. But Matthew chapter 6, go read it. Look at the lilies of the field, the birds of the air, the sparrow. You know, not even Solomon was arrayed like the lilies of the field. They're thrown in a fire and burned up, you know, and the birds, not one of them sparrows fall to the ground without your Father's knowledge. Oh, dumb Christian people, do you not know that you're worth more than many sparrows? I know what you have need of, says the Lord. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You need health, you need wealth, you need a house, you need a car, whatever you need food, you need clean water. God will provide it. You know, in the midst of all those things, I find myself being thankful for stuff that I don't pay any attention to. I'm so thankful that the water supply hasn't been polluted. I hope the devil didn't hear that, because you know how he is. Let me go try and do it. You know, you can get a good, clean glass of water. You know, it's good for you. It's good for you. Without water, we're in big trouble. And if you got to drink the Mississippi water, you will be glowing in the dark. God only knows what's in that water. You people in New Orleans, I love you, but you got to drink that stuff. I moved out. So anyway, moving on. New beginnings start by walking with Jesus. Luke 24:15. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. Oh, come on, man. Is that cool or what? They're worried, their hopes are dashed, you know, and hope itself walks along with him, and they didn't even recognize him. Has Jesus been walking along with you? You didn't even recognize him? Huh? You know why they didn't recognize him? I'm going to tell you why. Don't get mad at them. Don't get mad at yourself, and don't get mad at me for bringing it up. They didn't recognize him because they weren't looking for him. Are you looking for God? Come on. Are you looking for him? He's right here. I like that old song we used to sing. He was there all the time. Waiting patiently in line, you know. He hadn't gone anywhere, folks. He hadn't lost his power. Jesus does not have the coronavirus. Amen. He's healthy. As he is, so are we in this world. He's healthy and happy, and he's, a matter of fact, you want to know what Jesus is doing? He's resting. He's entered the rest. That's what we need to do. We need to rest in Him. Rest in Him. Jesus always takes the first step towards willing hearts. He always takes the first step. You weren't looking for God. God found you. He was searching for you and found you, just like these guys. You know, it's amazing. The whole world is, you know, in Jerusalem, praying and lamenting and all that's going on back in Jerusalem. And Jesus goes and finds these two guys walking away. Don't walk away from God. Don't ever throw in the towel. I don't care how bad it gets. And it can get worse. There's no guarantee this is the worst it's going to get. You don't know what's going to happen next. I mean, your dear husband, minding his own business, falls down and bumps his head, and he's still dealing with it. I got in my car yesterday, pushed the ignition button. I was going to say turn the ignition on, but you can't turn them on anymore. You know, you push the button, and this big amber light went, bang! I was talking on the phone to somebody. Said, what is that? And this big, oh man, it's a 2-inch amber thing. You don't want to see a 2-inch amber thing in the middle of you. And I looked at it and said, what is that? Is that BMW's rendition of a tire? It was. It's a tire pressure thing. You thought the engine fell out of the car. And I, you know what my first thought was? Come on, God, not now. You know, I don't have time to fool with this guy. Things to do. Things happen, and they happen quickly, but you didn't expect. It was just a dumb light. It didn't do it anymore, so it's fine. Those who are listening, I just crossed my fingers. I can't. I'm a cardinal man. I can't help it. They were despondent. They were hurt. They were lost because they lost an earthly thing. Jesus was an earthly man, and they lost it. And when they lost him, they lost everything. The good news is that we're not losing. That was the old way. This is the new way. Yeah, you can't lose him. He's not going anywhere. I'll show you a scripture. I preached a sermon about this many years ago. And it's one of the most encouraging passages of scriptures. Matthew chapter 12, verses 20 and 21. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out, till he leads justice to victory. In his name the nations will put their hope. A bruised reed. You ever see a reed like a cattail or one of those things? You just kind of limped over. It's not broke. It's just kind of limped over. You know, normally what you do with something like that, when it limps over, just cut it down and get rid of it. There's no way to get it back. And this says that a bruised reed, he will not break. He won't break it all. You know, you may be limped over. I got news for you. He's the resurrection. He can get you back up where you need to be. He get you back on your feet. Get you thinking right again. He'll get you going in the right direction. That's his job. And his smoldering wick. You know, that back when they had oil lamps, but if you know hurricane lamps, which probably everybody's got here, you know, the wick is not supposed to burn, you know, noticeably. You know. But if you don't take care of it and lift it up a little bit, you know, it'll start smoldering, you know, and pretty soon the flame's going to go out. Right? And what Jesus is saying, that he will not snuff it out. What he'll do is kind of, you know, the little knob you turn and the wick goes up? He'll just turn you up. Brighten you up. Get you feeling better about yourself. Put a little light on the subject. But, you know, dispel some of the darkness. It's a great scripture of encouragement. You know, those men were bruised and they were flickering. And Jesus went and found them. Jesus heals and he lights up our life as we walk with him. Song in the garden, he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I'm his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. None other has ever known. Just ask Jesus to walk with you. He's there. Open your eyes. Lord, open my eyes. Let me know you're here. You know? Each step they took gave them a new vision towards a new beginning as he opened the scriptures. And he finally, they said, would you come to our house? They just walked 7 miles. If you walk 7 miles, we'd probably have you in the hospital throwing the corona people out of a bed. Walking 7 miles. Can you believe this? The two things that you never want to shut down for people like me. Don't ever shut down the gym because I need to stay in shape. Which they did. I can't even go to the gym. And then don't shut down the church because I need the spiritual thing. You know, physical and spiritual are both under attack. Oh my goodness. New beginnings start by going a new way. Jesus went to their house. Jesus sat down with them. Broke bread with them. Fellowship with them. And then the epiphany moment came and they realized who he was. And he disappeared from their sight. Jesus won't always be in your sight, but he'll always be there. Always be near. That's why the Holy Ghost came, by the way. Jesus could only be in one place at one time. I know, don't let that mess up your theology, but that's true. only one place at one time. That's why the Holy Spirit came, so you could be every place, all the time, with everyone. That's the Holy Spirit's job. It's interesting that it, I won't go there. Yeah, well, Jesus said that the Comforter will come and be with you. It means to be alongside of you. That's what, you go look at the original language, it means he's going to be right there with you. Just like Jesus walked with those men, Holy Spirit is right there. Walk, he's with you all the time. So, verse 33 of Luke 24 says, they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. They just walked 7 miles, and they just hot-footed back 7 miles where they were going. Wear their little sandals out. There they found the 11, minus one, Judas wasn't there, and those with them, the other disciples, assembled. If they would have stayed there, they would have seen Jesus a lot sooner. You know? They just left. Let's go home. At the time, Peter said, where are you going? I'm going fishing. You know, nothing left. He showed up. The time for turning around is now. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait till this afternoon. Don't wait till after lunch because the restaurants are closed. You know, now is the time for turning around. Leave the past behind. I don't care what you've been worried about, what's going on in your life. Leave it alone. Trust the Lord to take care of it. Believe that He is with you in all things. Start moving in a new direction. How do you start moving in a new direction? Well, if you're walking this way, you got to think, I want to go in a new direction. I think I can turn around, and I'm going to turn around, and I'm going to take a step in the other direction. You got to do something. We need to be doers of the word. They couldn't sit there at the table in the house and say, well, maybe he'll come back here. They went to the place, the last place they knew that he was, where there were other people where he could be, and that's where they went. They left the past behind and started moving in a new direction. I want to show you something. I don't know where this came from. I must have thought it up. If I didn't, I don't know who did. They should have thought it up. You are as close to a miracle as you are to a tragedy. You're as close to a miracle as you are to a tragedy. I don't know about you, but I'm looking for miracles. I don't want to look for no tragedies. Trust in God. Believe in God. Lord, I need a miracle. I need it, and I need it now. Come on, Charles, you're preaching my sermon. I need it now. Hallelujah. Leave the past behind. Start moving in a new direction. They had spent the whole day going in the wrong direction. A 7 mile walk, take you a while to do that. You know? It's a bunch of hours, wasted hours going in the wrong direction. If you've been going in the wrong direction, change the way you think, change what you believe. Start going in the right direction. All is not lost. There's hope. If everybody in this room had the virus, I'd venture to guess that all of us walk out healthy at the end of it. Maybe one would die. The oldest. I was thinking of me. I wasn't thinking of you. The almost oldest. No! I'm not going there. Let's not do that. Let's not be believing that. That's the wrong direction. When they saw Jesus, they turned around and headed home. Right above my head. Come home. All is forgiven. Come on. Come on home where you belong. Stop living out there in a fear tank. Let's get on a faith machine. I just finished the book, The Wright Brothers. And I just loved it because these guys wouldn't quit. They just wouldn't quit. They weren't scientists. They weren't engineers. They were a couple of good old boys in a bicycle shop who liked to watch birds and believed they could fly. They believed they could do it. And they tried and they failed. And they tried and they failed. And then they thought about it and thought about it and thought about it. They built the first wind tunnel to test the wing in. They did it. And they finally got that puppy off the ground. And they flew and they flew and they flew. Stunned the whole world. Because they did something that they believed would work. And I'm telling you, you need to believe that Jesus will work in your life. He'll work in your life today and every day. You know what it says here? Let me back up to that scripture. No, it must be someplace else. I saw it because I got it in my notes. It says here that the day was far spent. You know, the day was far spent. You know, but it's not too late. It's never too late. It's never too late to turn around and go in another direction and start a new beginning. Just hitch up your britches, girls, straighten your skirts, whatever girls do, you know, and just start going in the right direction. Some things are never going to change. You just have to live with them. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. But start heading in the right direction. When they got home, what did they discover? God's people gathered together. There's the assembly that didn't forsake the assembling themselves together. They were all there. And they had seen Jesus. Because he had been there previously. He had visited them. And they knew what these two guys walking for 7 miles in the wrong direction didn't know until Jesus showed up and went home with them. Then they went all the way back because the blessings were right where they left them. The truth was right where they left it. They had gone away, gone in the other direction. Don't ever walk away from God. Don't ever walk away from the truth you know. Don't ever give up. And I know it's a battle. I told Pat yesterday, it's a battle for me. You think just because I preach, I don't have to fight battles? Probably have to fight more. You know, I have to deal with this. Should I meet? Should I not meet? Should I go here? Should I not go here? You know, should I go to the grocery store or not go to the grocery store? Pat and I, we are twins. She went to the grocery store. Then I went to the grocery store. I thought, at least we'll have a treat. I bought a gallon of our favorite Bluebell ice cream. Strawberries and homemade cream, vanilla. And I brought it home. And she wasn't home when I got home. And I went to put it in the freezer and I opened it up and said, there's a whole gallon of stuff here. She had bought it the day before and didn't tell me. I didn't hear it when she told me. So now we got 2 gallons. So we can sit in front of the TV with a spoon and each have our own gallon. We just eat our way through it. The blessings are at home. They don't even know it. That gallon of ice cream was there. I didn't have to go buy another one. I'm glad I did. I'm glad there was room for another gallon in there. God's people gather together. We need to be with each other. We need to encourage one another. We need to provoke one another to good works. A lot of times you hear the word provoke, you think somebody provoked a fight. Scripture says, provoke one another to good works. Are you feeling down? Let me encourage you. Let me give you a good word. Yeah, I was worried about that too. You know what? I don't have the bug. I took my temperature. I did. I got the thermometer out. Got the cobwebs off of it. Put it in my mouth. God knows what I could have caught from putting it in my mouth. But I didn't. And I don't have any temperature. Phew, I must be okay. It makes you feel better, do it. I did it. It made me feel better. They too had seen Jesus. Now they had all seen Jesus. And they too were starting a new beginning collectively together. Together, the people of God, headed in the right direction, can change the world. We can do it. We can do it. When you leave out here today and you run into people wherever you go, give them some hope. He said, man, I went to church this morning. I'm a crazy pastor decided to have the church, and I was crazy enough to go with him. Wasn't many people there, but we went, and my goodness, I heard a great sermon. There's hope. There's hope. And take your little notes. Say, let me show you the scriptures that he went through. Let's read them together. Let's stop going in the wrong direction. Let's get a new beginning and march in the right direction. How's that sound? All right, let's all stand. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes?
The word fear, if you write it as an acrostic, up and down, mm-hmm. F, false evidence appearing real.
Amen. I forgot
That's
about
what
that.
The devil is put in this
false evidence appearing
false
real.
False evidence that is causing it to appear real to people. But without Christ, they believe that. But those of us that have Christ, we know there is no fear in Christ.
Amen.
That we have everything we need in Him, including good health.
Amen. Amen. I agree with that 100%.